Welcome to the Expert Ownership Podcast, where we launch faith-filled entrepreneurs into greater freedom and success. But you know what? It's more than that. We want to help you thrive in the midst of today's cancel culture. Our goal is to raise up workplace warriors who will stand for what they believe in, whatever the cost. You can find out more by visiting expertownership.com. But without further ado, here we go. I've been really, really feeling it. Got to bust a move, watch out. Okay, guys, excited to be with you again today for the Expert Ownership Podcast. David and Jason out there slaying dragons as they are wont to do, and they do it so well. So I'm going to sit in today and just take you through a really interesting, hopefully interesting to you idea for all of us in business, which is what is the difference between managing and leading? And do I really understand the traits that set these apart? And I'm going to add another layer to that. Do I understand that there is a masculine and feminine difference in these two approaches to business that really matters? I feel like I want to speak about this because there's so much confusion in the world today about gender and all of those things. And while this is not a social commentary, you know, in this podcast, it's not what my purpose is. You know, everything is connected. I had said when I was doing a training, I don't know, 25 years ago, the way you do anything is the way you do everything. And I sometimes get pushback from people on that. I don't know that I originated that phrase, but I will tell you, I don't remember ever hearing it before that. But there's some mileage you can get out of that phrase because, see, your approach in one area of your life is actually a mirror of how you are approaching things in other areas of your life. So if you can make a strategic change in one area, you likely can ripple that change out into other areas. So I look at it as a positive, which means, hey, if I, in this one area, I'm really organized and really focused and all that kind of good stuff, if that's happening, then I feel like, hey, I can apply that same approach to this other area of life and I can see some strategic leverage. That's what we teach in the coaching program. David and Jason and I have launched called Founders Fire. Love to see you over there. So foundersfire.com, take a look at that. Lots of good resources for entrepreneurs, for business owners, and people really wanting to integrate their values into the core of what they're called to do. So I love to see you poke around over there and say hello. Today, though, we're going to focus on a very interesting idea of managing versus leading. Do you know when you're managing or when you're leading? A lot of what I've seen in my 20 plus years of coaching entrepreneurs and business owners is this: they don't know. In fact, they think managing is leading. So, hey, let's have a meeting. Well, who called the meeting? Well, Joe did. Oh, yeah, he's leading. He's not. Hey, do we really know when we're leading versus when we're managing? A lot of the reason why small business owners in particular, and when I say small business, I think 5 to 500 employees, revenue that's like a million, maybe up to 100 million. So it's not a tiny business, but I'm not talking about, you know, Motorola or AT&T or some kind of a gigantic company, right? In that business model, how did those businesses get started? So let me just start off with this thought-provoking question. Okay, if you know my background, you know that I was the director of training at eMyth Worldwide way back in the day. And in that book, which I still recommend and use practically daily, Michael Gerber does the great job of describing the entrepreneurial seizure. Okay, so you're good at the technical work of what you do. You're good at that technical work, but you're tired of working for the man. You know there's a better way. And so what do? You're like, all right, I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to borrow money from Uncle Joe, or I'm going to do this or do that. Somehow I'm going to cobble together enough money to start my own business. That's what he calls the entrepreneurial seizure. Yeah. Okay. And then what do? Well, you're not a leader. You're not even an entrepreneur. You are a technician. You're good, if I use his analogy, you're good at baking pies. And so you go bake pies. But what are you not good at? Marketing, sales, finance, systemization, leadership, goal setting, KPIs, none of that, right? Because you never did that. What did you do? You baked the pies. Okay, that's why most people don't know that they're actually managing way more than leading. But what's needed is the opposite ratio. We need the leading so that the managing and the workflow can come after that. So I'll use a simple analogy, a physical analogy. I want you to imagine a rope that you might climb with, or you would have seen somebody if you rappel or something like that on TV, or sometime maybe you did that. Just rope, okay? And it's kind of coiled up in a loop, just sitting on the floor, okay? I want you to imagine if you grabbed one of the loose ends and you tried to push the rope so that the whole coil would become straight. How long would it take you to get the rope straight? The right answer is infinity. You never would get it straight. What's the simple answer that a five-year-old child would know about how to get that rope in a straight line? You grab the end, sure enough, but what do? You start walking. You start going somewhere the rope isn't. This is the difference between leadership and management. A leader grabs the end of the rope and starts walking. And what does the rope do? The rope has to follow. And if the leader stays focused and doesn't go in circles, what will the rope do? It will straighten out into almost a perfectly straight line. Now, that single analogy can change your leadership effectiveness overnight. So I want all of you to ask yourselves, as a parent or as a spouse or as a son or a daughter, as an employee, as a business owner, you have the opportunity in almost every situation you're in to decide to lead. How do you decide? Just ask yourself the question, am I pushing the rope or am I pulling the rope? When we're pushing the rope, we're generally in reaction. We're generally focused on everybody else. And while in some ways that is a good thing, typically what it is a type of people-pleasing. So we want to be careful about that. Okay? We've all heard the phrase, you know, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. It's kind of like that. It's like you're not really standing for anything. You're just following the crowd or following the flow or following the social, you know, conformity in the moment. Don't get me started about editing speech and all of the things you can't say and all the thought policing that's going on today and the virtue signaling and all that nonsense. All that is people pushing the rope. You want to be a leader? Pull the rope. Grab a hold of the end and start walking. Okay, that is leadership. Now, we could spend a whole podcast just on that. I won't do it, but probably a question may come to your mind. Well, where should I start walking to? And that is the important work of establishing your personal strategic vision and your business strategic vision, headed on the trajectory to you being your best future self, who you are called to be, reaching your creative maximum. That is an entire practice that we work on intensely in the Founders Fire program. We're not going to work on it today, but I just want to say, you're right. If you say, well, grab the rope and walk, where? Yeah, you need to answer the question. Where am I going? It's very hard to grab the rope and start walking if you don't know where you're going. But I'll tell you what, grab the rope anyway. Grab it anyway and start walking. Okay, one of my favorite Latin phrases is ober operata. And that means it is done in the doing. Sitting around and trying to get the perfect answer to your destiny or your calling or your whatever is a huge waste of time. In fact, I would even say it's dangerous. The enemy, if he can get you to not even go to the battlefield, he's already won. Yeah, well, I don't really know what part of the field I'm supposed to be on or where I'm supposed to fight or what I'm supposed to do. Hey, start heading to the battlefield. Stop yakking. Start going. I see a lot of people that get the analysis paralysis thing. Okay, what is that about? It's about fear. It's about not wanting to be wrong. You know what? I just want to say this and within constraint here, right? Be wrong. Fail fast. Get after it. Okay. You grow and learn by failing. And guess what? You're not going to fail that much. Okay. Get out there and get after it. All right. So let's get after it as leaders and let's make sure we're not managing. And then let's take this other layer of the masculine and feminine and let's see what we can understand from really what I would consider to be the eternal principles here. Okay. First thing is this. When I use the word masculine and feminine, I don't mean male and female. That's not what I'm talking about. So just to keep us, again, on the right track here, what I'm talking about is not something a man can do and a woman can't do, or a woman can do and a man can't do. That's not what I mean. What I'm talking about is initiating versus tending. Okay, so I'm going to use masculine as the word for the initiating and feminine for the word for tending. And I want you to see if you can follow this. When I, as a man or as a woman, need to grab the end of the rope and start walking, that's masculine energy. That's what I'm going to call the initiating energy. And when we fail to have initiating energy, we are impotent. We are without power. That's what impotence means. Potent. We are not potent. There's no power. Okay. When it's time to make a decision, we have a whole module on this actually called the strategic decision-making grid. We tend to get nervous. And the reason is because to decide means I have to grab the end of the rope and choose a destination and start walking towards it, which means I could be wrong. It also means I have to eliminate the alternatives, because if you think about the word decide, it's like suicide, pesticide, homicide. What do all those situations have in common? Something's dying. So when I decide what is dying, the alternatives. This is the nature of commitment. This is ober oberata. It is done in the doing. If you are standing on the end of a dock at a beautiful lake, waiting for a U-shaped hole in the lake so that you could jump in and have fun, you will stand there forever. Where is the me-shaped hole in the lake? It's not there. So if I just wait, right, I'm impotent. But if I initiate, if I jump, millions and millions of gallons of water will reorganize themselves in the most delightful way, especially if it's in the middle of the summer. And I will splash into that water, and there will be an Eric-shaped area in that lake. I can't wait for it. I have to act. It is done in the doing. That is leadership. Okay. Leadership is about saying, it's not that I have all the answers, but I will initiate. And in our culture, you can see that when that energy, you can call it the king energy or masculine energy, or the, and I'm using those as archetypal reflections of God. God has revealed himself to us in and throughout nature in many obvious ways. And if you look at any species of animal, for the most part, I know someone can find some scientific, you know, point to say that's not 100% the case. For the most part, you see male and female. Okay. You see these two, this dichotomy of energy. And again, in the Genesis story, it's telling us he made us in his image. He made us male and female. So both of those reflect something about the nature of God. They don't define God, but they reflect something about the nature of God. A creation doesn't define the creator, right? But it reflects an attribute of the creator. So when we think about these things, when we think, okay, now wait a minute, Eric, this is business and we're talking about management and leadership, but you're talking about some whole other level here. I am. You know this Einstein quote, right? The level of thinking that we were at when we caused the problem is insufficient to solve the problem. So I'm trying to elevate the way we think about our approach, in this case, to business, to management and leadership. Yeah, I'm going to go deep and dig. Why? Because you know what? A mile wide and an inch deep is not going to serve anybody. Fantastic plastic is not where the growth is at. And we need to grow. The world needs us to grow. The world needs us at full potential. There's so many people who are lost and blind, and they just have no idea how to navigate life. We can help them. We can help them by growing and by doing the work. And when we do the work, they look at us doing the work. They're like, hey, maybe I should do some of that work. Things seem to be very good over there. Things seem to be very in order, and there seems to be something quite powerful about what these people are all about. This is exactly what we heard in Exodus when they were talking about the Hebrew women who are vigorous and give birth before we can get there. Yes, that. Okay. That's what I'm talking about. So again, it's not about, are you a man or are you a woman? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, are we aware of the differences of the types of frameworks or mentality or approach that's baked into the fabric of creation? And it is, the way I'm going to speak about it is this initiating energy versus this caretaking energy. Okay. So think about it like this. An entrepreneur, a true entrepreneur, is going to go into some area, right? Find an opportunity, use capital resources and human resources, et cetera, to make something valuable that is needed in that area. And then having made that thing, usually a business, then sell that business and move on and do the next thing. Okay. That is the penultimate archetypal idea of the initiating, the beginning, the starting energy or mindset. Okay. Well, will that business that this entrepreneur started do well? Not without a manager. Not without, if you think of the entrepreneur as the pioneer, hey, out in the middle of the wilderness where nobody else is, finding the gold, right? Okay, that's the entrepreneur. David and Jason are quintessential in their ability to do that and inhabit that. Well, they know as well as I do, and I'm sure you do too, can't just do that. Because you go out there in the wilderness, set up camp, find some gold. Well, we have not brought that to potential. We have not brought that value to bear. We just have found the opportunity. What has to happen to bring it to bear? And in Expert Ownership, the book, if you guys are new to the podcast and you don't have the book, go get it right now, expertownership.com. One of my favorite books. What are we supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to take care of it. We're supposed to, you know, be an expert owner. We don't just go out there in the wilderness and just find some opportunity. We need to find what David and Jason call a subject matter expert. That person is in, again, they're not a woman, but it is in the caretaking side of the equation. Okay. It is in the feminine. It is the nurturing. Because if you don't have somebody to cut all the trees down and make the road flat and build the buildings and space them out the right distance and plan out the little community and where the, you know, the water is going to be and where the fire is going to be, where the food is going to be stored, that's not the entrepreneur. That's not the entrepreneur. The initiator found the right spot, found all the resources, but then they've got to very quickly hand that off to, again, what David and Jason call a subject matter expert. I'm going to call him the manager. Okay. It is the, in the sequence, it's the settler. So you have the pioneer, but then you have the settlers. Okay. Now they're still on the frontier because this is still maybe uncontested market space, what we would call a blue ocean, right? It's still new, but we're not just initiating. We're now building and coalescing. One of my favorite parts of that is the process of systemization. That I love because it creates the same high quality valued result over and over and over and over. And that's where we're really starting to establish something that's got long-term value. So that's my little favorite part right there. But if you think about it as a leader, the leading is getting us to that spot. It's grabbing that rope and walking, right? And getting us to that spot. Now that we're there, what has to happen? More leading and more entrepreneurial and more new ideas? No, because then we'll leave that spot and we'll go to a new spot. And then we'll leave that spot and go to a new spot. And what I call that is vision promiscuity. Oh, what about over there? Oh, what about over there? And it's understandable because some people are great at it, but it will ruin your business. Okay, we need to know when we need to switch out of that as our primary focus or our primary energetic area we're paying attention to or inhabiting, if you want to use that word. And we need to switch into, okay, wait a minute. We don't need to be changing stuff now. We got here. Now we need to let the settlers, the managers start to take over. Okay. So let me ask you guys some questions. We're going to go through a few ideas here. And I want to see how clear you are on the difference between leading and managing. Okay. In a general sense, I would say leading is the strategic. It's the big picture. Managing is the details. It's the organizing. And there's one layer underneath that, which has to power the entire situation, which is the work. Leading is a kind of work. Managing is a kind of work, but then there's the work. If you guys know what I mean. Okay. If you're tracking with me. Okay. So Obviously, we will say things like this: if you want it done right, you have to do it yourself. And so we abandon leadership and we dive right into management. We're not clear on the vision. We're not clear on the goals. We're not clear on where we are, and we're not clear on where we're going. We're just going to use WD-40 and spray it on the hinges. That's the work. Okay. Oftentimes what happens is that leaders who didn't get trained in leadership, who are those technicians having an entrepreneurial seizure, those people don't lead much. They just kind of do, and they push the rope. And then what happens is they get trapped inside their own business. Hey, that's what Founders Fire is all about, is we want to fan into flame that fire inside of you of leadership. Because while Michael Gerber might have called it an entrepreneurial seizure, we're going to call it an act of God. It's not a seizure. It's not a convulsion. It's not an episode. I'll tell you what it is. It's a calling. It is, in a sense, a reckoning with what you must do. And it lights up your heart, like it says in Proverbs 20, verse 5. The purposes of the human heart are like deep water, but a man of understanding draws them out. Doesn't splash them all around. Doesn't throw something down into it. Draws them out. That is a skillful, patient process. And that is the respect for the calling God's put on your life. It's not just to be good, you know, do good things. Okay. It's specific, it's noble, it's actionable, but you got to dig for it. You guys remember the parable about the pearl of great price? The man bought the whole field because somewhere in there is that pearl. So while I never want to kick my playpen, it's not a seizure. It's a calling. It's a reckoning. It's a resonance about, I must do this. Good. That is that beginning leader. But you probably spent the prior 20 plus years being a doer, being an employee, maybe a little bit of managing. What happens is when you get into your business, we get crushed by all the doing that has to happen and all that sort of stuff. And we really don't do the leading. So one of the ways that we can start to see this better is to contrast these two. So think of managing as the car, leading as the fuel. Okay. Managers tell. Leaders sell. Managers plan the details. Leaders set the direction. Managers minimize risks. Leaders take risks. Managers instruct employees. Leaders encourage people. All right, we can unpack all of these, but I'm just going to hit you with a few of these just to get your brain feeling flexible. Okay, so it's like you're going to touch your toes here. You know, like you're doing a forward fold, a forward bend, right? So you're standing there, you're going to bend your knees, put your hands on your knees, and maybe just stay there for a second. And then you're going to start to let your hands maybe slide a little further down your knees onto your shins. You're going to start to straighten your legs a little. It's going to hurt a little, but you're going to stay there for a minute, okay? Then we're going to stand back up slowly. And that's what we're doing right now, okay, for your leadership management muscle. We're going to go this way and then that way. Okay, here we go. Leaders sell, managers tell. Leaders set the direction. Managers plan the details. Leaders take risks. Managers minimize risks. Leaders encourage people. Managers instruct people. Okay, let's keep going with this. In other words, stretch it more. Okay, managers tend to think in short term. We can't afford this kind of capital purchase right now, but leaders think long term. Look beyond the cost today and let's explore what this investment can mean down the road. Managers follow the map. Leaders carve new roads. Managers approve of things. That's a good thing. You did the right thing. But a leader motivates people to say, I'm not totally sure what the right thing is, but we're going over there. Managers establish the rules. Again, leaders tend to break the rules. Managers assign duties, but leaders foster ideas. Managers tend to vote with their head, and entrepreneurs and leaders vote with their heart. Managers rely on control. Leaders inspire trust. Control is about making sure what you don't do. Trust is about empowering you to follow your heart. I trust you. Again, we could dive deep on all these. I'll just do a few more. Managers want to make sure that they do the right thing. Okay. And that's really, again, this is this dichotomy between rules are rules, and as much as I'd like to, I can't make an exception. But leaders, they see the right thing as, I know what the rules say, but sometimes you just need to break them, right? It is this dynamic tension between the new and the novel and the created versus the tended, the nurtured, the matured. If we're all hyper-masculine, what will happen? I'll tell you exactly what will happen. When I was in the Army, for a period of time, I was stationed at Fort Knox. And Fort Knox is clean. It's a huge Army base. It was clean. It was completely clean. But it was ugly. Why? Hyper-masculine. Hyper-masculine. Okay. It was, there is nothing was cultivated there that was inspiring. It was completely functional, right? Do you get that? If I don't tend to something, it doesn't grow into its fullness. And so if we stay in our masculine mentality too long, then there's no nurturing, which means there's no growth and there's no maturity. And therefore the masculine just wants to go on and find a new situation. And it's just always just going to the new thing, the new thing, the new thing. That's not right. That's imbalance. It's also imbalanced to never go to the new thing and just stay here and don't take any risk and get everything organized, and make everybody try to be happy. No, no, no. That doesn't work either. In your day, I want you to ask yourself the question right now, what do I need to inhabit? Do I need to inhabit the leader or the manager? I will tell you, most of you need to inhabit the leader more. Some of you don't. Some of you are too much into that. How do I know, Eric? Here's how you know. If you're not seeing things come to maturity and your tendency is to go start something new, buy new software, go to a new conference, do a new thing, you're probably too much in the leader. You're too entrepreneurial and you're breaking your own organization. So stop it. Stop going to the new place. Come back here. If you can't switch into that manager mode, you have to find someone who will. And you have to obey them. Yes, you're the leader and you're the boss and you can make the decision. But no, you can't. No, you can't. You can't put the entrepreneur in the driver's seat. Or the car will just keep going to a new location and a new location and a new location until you run out of gas. Okay, if you're called to this mission, which is a specific, measurable, and this is how we teach it, your perfect week. We call it your strategic vision, this ideal customer journey, the perfect customer experience. You can't be having 30 versions of that. You need one version of that. If you build houses or you run a contractor service or whatever it is, you sell insurance, whatever it is you do. Right? There's not 30 perfect versions of your business. There's one. When it really is serving the right market, the right way, for the right reasons, and it's happening the way you know in your heart it can happen, that's one place. That's not 20 places. And so as a leader who is unhinged and not grounded to that management side, you're just going to go off and start a new thing. To the manager who always resists anything new, you're going to become what we call myopic. In a way, it's ingrown. Right? We're not actually flourishing. So we need the balance. Always with God, it's the balance. It's always about balance. So again, a leader is eyeing the horizon. A manager is eyeing the bottom line. A leader is challenging the status quo. The manager is enforcing the status quo. What I want to say here is that as we get confused about some of these basic issues in the culture, it affects the way we think in business too. So ask yourself, as a leader, when am I grabbing the rope and walking with confidence, as opposed to taking another survey and having another committee meeting and talking about talking and planning a meeting to plan meetings, right? That's when we're getting stuck in the management side, and usually it's fear-based. However, as you're grabbing that rope and walking, how do you know when you've gotten there? How do you know when the rope is straight? You have to conform yourself to a written vision. And that vision, when we help people write it in Founders Fire, winds up being about 8 or 9 pages long. It is a story of the perfect customer experience from the time they hear about you until this whole journey is fulfilled. And now that is constraining the leader to say, well, you can lead us, but it has to always be to this story. And that's exactly what we're told. Guess where? In Scripture, Habakkuk 2:2. Take the vision, write it down, make it plain, so the one who reads it will run. When there's no vision, people cast off restraint, especially leaders. When there's no vision, people perish, especially managers. Okay. If you want to lead and do business, what I would say is God's way, this way that's revealed to us, when we look at all of the created order that testifies, right? It's there. It's baked into the DNA, literally, of every single thing. That's where we discover our full potential. And that's where we can really learn what is the difference between these two balancing energies, between the masculine and the feminine, between the leadership and the management. What is that right balance? It changes, it's dynamic, but at least with some of these ideas, I hope it gives you guys a much better ability to implement that, to see that. And I bet it's going to help you get unstuck. Ask yourself this question today at work or whenever you're at work next. Right now, is what's called for clarity about the vision or fertilizer? Do we need to get clearer about what we're going towards, or do we need to grow what we have now? Just asking that question is, I think, one of the most important things we can do in pursuing our authorized work. That can be siphoned out to roles. And typically, the founder of a business, if they are that true entrepreneur, we want to keep them in that realm, but we need a manager who can say no to them. We need a COO who can eyeball the CEO and say, hey, that's a great idea. We're not going to do it. Well, why not? Because it doesn't line up with this vision. And if left alone, you'll start 19 new visions. And then the CEO says to the COO, and if you're left alone, you'll be counting the beans forever and nothing... Right. You guys feel that one? That tension between those two, that is awesome. Okay. That's where we trust each other. That's where we're in covenant. And again, what does the scripture say? That's where we're equally yoked. The leader, their shoulders are at the same height, metaphorically here, as the operator, as the COO, the manager. If the leader's shoulders are too high and the manager's shoulders are too low, think of these two oxen side by side, or the opposite is true, how will the oxen plow? What shape will their path be if one set of shoulders is lower than the other? You guessed it, a circle. If you feel, Eric, man, I am going in a circle in my business or any other area in your life, this balancing that I'm trying to teach today between these two types of focus, the management, the leadership, the feminine, the masculine, the king archetype versus the mayor archetype or the caregiver archetype, the physician. Use whatever terminology you want to. The reality is the balance has to be there. And if you're going in a circle, you know what to do. You know where to go to start to restore this balance. So hope this was helpful for you guys today. Really appreciate being able to share with you guys. So let us know how it goes. We can help you out in any way. Please visit expertownership.com or for coaching and getting sweaty and getting it done in that way, foundersfire.com. See you guys next time. I've been really, really